We'll call Odd Hazelhurst. In the chair. Yeah, if there's any water in there.
I do.
Could you give us your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Aud Hazelhurst. My address is 106 Oakmont Place in Jackson, Tennessee.
Are you Yace Hazelhurst's paternal grandmother?
Yes, I am.
How often did you see Yace during his first year of life?
When Yace was born, I saw him all the time because I was not working and I lived only 5 minutes away from Angela and Ralph, so having a lot of time on my hands, I enjoyed being with Yace.
Would you describe for us some of your interaction with Yace during that first year?
Yes, Yace was a good little boy and he loved to be played with. From the time he was little, I would pick him up and put him in my lap, and we would talk. When I say we would talk, I'm Norwegian, so I would speak to Yates in Norwegian. When it was just Yates and myself, we would have a wonderful conversation. He would coo and smile. Once he learned to smile, he would smile and babble. So I would say, oh, he's talking Norwegian already. That would, Now, of course, when others were around, I did not speak to him in Norwegian, but one-on-one, we had a lot of conversations right here in my lap. As he got a little older, we started playing peekaboo. He loved to play peekaboo. Of course, I taught him peekaboo in our region. And we also did patty cake, and he would patty cake, and when I would tickle his stomach, he would just laugh. So most of the time, Yates was, he was very good. He had some colic, but I have 4 children on my own, so I had some experience comforting Yates, and he would quickly quit crying. And of course, I was very happy because they would say, oh, mother has the magic touch. So I loved to try to comfort Yates whenever I could, and it was very easy to do for me.
Did Yates recognize and greet you?
Oh, most definitely. Once he heard my voice, if he was in his crib, when he could pull up, I could hear this babble, babble, babble. And if I didn't go and pick him up right away, he would let me know. I had managed to spoil Yates, I'm sure. I probably could be accused of spoiling him because I did interact with him a lot, and we bonded at a very, very young age, Yates and I. And we still have a good bond, thank goodness. As he got a little older, when I would walk in the door, he would come crawling to me and reach his hands up, and of course I would pick him up. And one of the things we loved to do was to look out the window and look at the birds. We loved to look at the birds outside. And he was a little bit older then before he started saying beep 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 beep, and that meant pick me up and take me to look at the birds. So we would do that. He walked early. It was before he was a year old. So then, once he would hear me, or once he would come to my house, he would immediately, I would say, yes, and he would hear too, just running towards me. So we had a lot of interaction in his first year. As I said, I was not working, so I had a lot of time to play with him.
How did he interact with his cousins?
The first year, he loved to be with his cousins, and of course, they loved to be with him. If he was not at my house, they would say, Mumut, that's Norwegian for grandmother. Can we go and see Yates? And I would say, sure. Being just 5 minutes away, we'll get in the car. And they played with him like he was his real baby doll. They would hold him when he was little. And he loved to see them. They'd teach him to go, boo. And he was a boo, and they just played. When the girls were there, I could do whatever I needed to do because he would interact with the girls and I could go on and start dinner or whatever I needed to do because he was entertaining. But it was good for them to come over because he interacted with them really, really well.
Would he bring you toys during that first year?
Oh, definitely he did. His favorite toy was probably a ball. I was having a lot of leg problems, so I would sit on the floor, and we would all get down on the floor, and I would roll the ball to him, and if he didn't get it, he would get up on his knees and go get that ball and bring it to me. He had a lot of Fisher-Price toys, and he liked to go get the cam and the horse and all the little Fisher-Price toys and bring them to me, and then he wanted me to get down on the floor and play with him. So we played a lot of games. I think the girls like to put the blocks up high and then knock them down, and they thought that was funny, and he thought it was funny too.
What do you remember about Yates' speech during his first year?
Of course, the first word he said was dad, 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 and I can remember Angela saying, why is he saying dad, dad? I'm spending a lot of time with him, and I said, Angela, that's what all babies do. They say dad, 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 dad before they say ma, ma, ma. Then the two English words that I worked with him on was to say please and thank you, because I felt like it's something that is important to know. So when he wanted his Baba, he didn't call it Baba, he said Baba, peace, Baba, peace. And then when I would hand it to him, he said thank you, thank. No, he didn't say thank you, he said thank, thank, which means thank you. And he would just go and take his little Baba and be happy. As he was almost one, he got a car for Christmas, and I can remember he said car, car. He went in that car, and we'd get on that cell phone and blah, 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 you know, talk. So I would joke with Angela. I said, Angela, he's watching you talking too much on that telephone. He's even mimicking you. Let's see. Mom, thank you. Gosh, it's been so long since he was a year old. I'm not so sure I can remember all the words that he could say. But he was with Mama, Dada, thank you. He probably said some more words, but I'll be honest, it's been a long time since he was a year old. But I never thought he didn't have a good vocabulary.
Did you babysit Yates during his first year of life?
I did. That was a lot of fun. I had told Angela and Ross whenever they needed a babysitter, remember, I'm just right around the corner, so they would take me up on it. He would spend the night, and he slept through the night, so that was not a problem. I didn't keep him until he slept through the night, so once he slept through the night, it was fun to keep him.
Did Yates' behavior change after his first birthday?
Yes, it did. Yates, at Christmas time, we had noticed how he played with his toys. Of course, he wasn't a year old then, but he was running around, getting the packages, unwrapping them, but at a normal speed. On his first birthday, I can remember saying, oh, isn't it sad? He's sick. He doesn't interact with us like he did, but he had a runny nose and pulling on his ear and a slight fever. So I thought, well, he'll be better soon. From then on, it seemed like he just kept on staying sick. He was not as healthy as he had been the first year. Because he walked early, he was about 11 months old when he walked. So on his birthday, he was an accomplished walker, and it wasn't long after that he started to be very busy and running around. He just never seemed to have recovered. I guess sort of a lumpy throat because he never seemed to be the same Yates after his first birthday.
Did he become difficult to care for after his first birthday?
After his first birthday, yes, he was a lot harder to keep. He seemed to lose interest in his cousins. They would say, "Why don't you want to play with us today?" And I would say, "Oh, Yates, play with me, Caroline and Elizabeth." And their play would be, they would say, "No, Yates, no, Yates," because Yates wanted to run and they wanted to play, and Yates. It was not as easy to comfort him either shortly after his birthday. He still would come to me, but not in the same happy little fellow that he had been his first 2 years.
Did you ever have trouble with him running away from you?
Yes, I will never forget Ed, my husband, walking into the breakfast room, saying, "Al, I just put Yates down. I took him out of the car seat, put him down, and reached for his diaper bag, and the next thing I knew was Yates was out the driveway and started up the street." He said, "I called Yates, and he didn't turn around." He kept saying, "Stop, Yates," and he just kept on going. So when he came in with Yates tightly under his arm, he said, "I don't know if we should take Yates to Norway." In August, I'll just backtrack a little bit, of 2000, my sister had called and given us the great news that my nephew was getting married in northern Norway. So we started talking about what a wonderful opportunity it would be for my children to get with my whole family that they had not seen for quite some time. And of course, we said, "Oh, Yates is such a wonderful baby. He's such a good baby." This was in August of 2000. I couldn't wait to show him off. Well, when Ed walked in, he had this concern on his face saying, "I don't know about taking Yates. You know, I just put him down." I had noticed that he was beginning to be more, I called it independent, thinking, he's into the terrible twos, really, really young. Yeah. Then we thought, well, it's Ralph and Andrew's first baby. We better just take him. So I started looking for a harness for Yates because I was concerned with all the relatives getting together. If Ed could just put him down for 1 second and he was gone. I had observed this running, but not to the extent that he was just taking off. My solution was to get a harness, and we were just visit with the relatives and had Yates in a harness. I couldn't find one, but my sister did in Norway, so she called me and she said, "Ed, I got a harness for you," but she said, I don't think she quite understood what I was talking about when I said, "He's really, really busy." And this was in March that he was running away from Ed. We didn't leave for Norway until June, but it wasn't long after she had met Yates that she said, "I can understand your concern. I have never seen a child like this before." And there were a lot of us, and we would just hold on to him, and he would run around. And we just said, "Oh, well, he's a little boy. He's busy." That was my excuse for his running. I just said, "Oh, well, he's just into the terrible things early."
When did this incident occur that you described where your husband took him out of the car seat and went back to get the diaper bag, and he was out of there? When did that happen?
That was in March of 2000.
When did he lose interest in playing with his cousins?
When we noticed it the most was, of course, Easter was a special occasion, and I always had everyone over for Easter brunch, and there was no interaction between Yates and the cousins. And I had noticed some of it before, but that particular time, it was very, very obvious because they were upset and he was like, "Where's Yates? Where's Yates?" So it started Easter, or probably in March of that year, but it was definitely noticeable by April that he had no interest in his cousins or his toys. We tried to introduce him to the toys, but he was not interested in his toys.
Did Yates' speech change after his first birthday?
Yes, it did. What was probably the most noticeable change was in the fall. I can remember being a proud grandmother because I would take Yates to Kroger and he would spell Kroger. He would look at the sign and I was thinking, gosh, this is a genius. He could spell, he's just spelling Kroger's. Although he was not saying Mama much, I don't believe, I'm almost sure he wasn't, but I was so fascinated with the fact that this little boy knew his alphabet. I would write an A, and he would say A, and we would do B, and he would say B. And he also did his numbers. That was another thing that we put up his big pad on the floor, and he would go 1, 2, 3, he would just mention these numbers. But as far as vocabulary, no, he was not forming sentences. But I blame that on the fact that I had spoken Norwegian to Yates all this time, and I probably confused him, but I kept thinking, oh, well, I want him to be bilingual, so I'm going to keep on speaking Norwegian. Actually, I did the same to Anne, my daughter, and she didn't talk until she was well until she was past 2, when I quit speaking Norwegian. About a week after I quit speaking, she started communicating in English. And, so I just knew that it was the fact that I wanted him to learn Norwegian, that his language was not improving. Because I was spending a lot of time, we were talking a lot of Norwegian at that time.
Did Yates' eating habits change in 2001?
Yes, they did. As a baby, he was the best little eater. Any baby food that we would introduce to him, he would just eat it. He would not spit it out. As he got a little older, like in 2001, he just wasn't going to eat all the food that we were introducing to him. He became rather picky. He became a very picky eater. And I can remember Annabelle, that had helped me with Ralph a lot, was also helping me some with Yates. And she said, oh, you know, he used to love to eat. Oh, that's my little boy. Why won't he eat? Because she loved him too. And she said, where won't Yates eat? I said, well, I don't know. I guess he's not hungry. He's just not hungry today.
When in 2001 did he become a picky eater? When in 2001 did he become a picky eater?
It went in 2001. It right before we left for Norway in June is when I would say he became very picky, because I had this conversation with Aunt Bert, and she packed in special foods that she knew he would eat, because being a grandmother, I was worried that Yates was just not going to eat what he was introduced to, so we packed in certain foods that we knew, although he probably didn't eat all of that, but we were concerned about it at that time.
Well, did Yates develop a problem with diarrhea in 2001?
Yes, I specifically remember the instance in Norway. I had told Einstein Roth that I knew that toilet paper was really thick, and I had seen the diapers. They would definitely give you a diaper rash, I thought, because they were very hard. So I said, bring lots of diapers. So they did. And I did not realize that they had gone through all these diapers. And when we were getting ready to fly back from northern Norway to Oslo, the rest of the family were staying in northern Norway longer after the wedding. I was saying, well, Ralph was saying, you know, we're low on diapers. So I said, Lisa, could you please run and get us some diapers? We're going to be on the bus, so we will not miss the bus that goes to the airport. Thank goodness he threw a big box of diapers aboard the bus for us. And if he hadn't, I don't know what would have happened. I guess we would have managed somehow, but that was when it sticks out in my mind that his siren was picking up.
How long did the diarrhea last?
Unfortunately, it lasted for a very long time. I believe Yates had been diagnosed with autism when I was getting very, very, very concerned that he was getting skin and bones. It really hurt me to put him in the bathtub. His belly was large, and I probably drove my husband crazy. I said, "Edward, would you please look at Yates' belly? It's so big, and look at his ribs. He's so thin. We've got to do something. I'm trying to feed him, but it just goes right through him." And I was a frantic grandmother. So I had heard of, I guess at that point, I had heard about all the findings in England. So I said, "Edward, could we please call Christopher Williams," which was a colleague of my husband. He's a world-renowned gastroenterologist that came to the United States frequently, but he does practice in London. We called Dr. Williams, and he said, "Well, let me get you in touch with Simon Mersch, who is up on children with gastrointestinal problems." So we called. We did not know Simon Mersch, but I called and introduced myself, and I'm a desperate grandmother. I need help. I need the help bad because I can't stand to look at his teeth or things. He said, "My recommendation would be to get in touch with Dr. Bowie at Harvard." And he also mentioned Dr. Creekson also, I believe, at the time. He said he personally knew Dr. Bowie, so I called Harvard. At Harvard, they were telling me that there was a very long waiting list. I can't remember exactly how long, but it was a long time, like 9 months. It was a long waiting list. So I called England again, being persistent. I said, "Please, if you have any connection or pull, can you just please call Dr. Bowie for me, because I can't stand to see Yates get so thin." So he must have called Dr. Bowie, because when I called back, I got an appointment with him this week. And at that time, I did not go to Harvard with Yates. My husband went. Angela and Ross, they went. My husband needed some extra help at the office, so I volunteered to stay and get HIPAA updated. So I stayed and did all the computer work. I can't do anything anymore. I have done all I can do. I've got Yates an appointment to see Dr. Bowie, so I feel comfortable staying behind looking after the office while he was gone. But that would have been into the spring of 2003, probably. I believe it was in the spring. I should have checked my dates before I got up here, but I believe that's when it was. I believe I'm correct. I might have to correct myself, but I believe that's correct.
Apart from the diarrhea that you described, how was Yates' health after his first birthday?
After his first birthday, Yates seems to stay sick all the time. I remember Mary Carolyn and Elizabeth, although he wasn't really interested in playing with them, they still wanted to play with their little baby doll. I said, "You know, he's sick today, and I and my daughter had a baby in July," and I would always say, "Oh, you know, maybe you shouldn't come over because Yates is sick, and I don't want Eleanor to get sick. She is just a baby." So he just seemed to just pull his ear and have a green runny nose. And what concerned me a lot was every time I would give him a hug or I would hold him, which I did quite a bit because he didn't seem to feel very well, so I would just love on him. his head was always high, and that was another concern I had. I would feel his lymph nodes and feel his head, and then I would tell my daughter and everyone, gosh, this is so hot. I just don't know why he's so warm. He's just warm all the time. I know that they probably got tired of hearing me, but it was just the way it was. I just couldn't get it off my mind that he was so warm all the time, because my other children were not hot like that, or my grandchildren. He was just much warmer than they were.
How long was he warm all the time?
How long was he warm all the time? He seemed to stay warm for a long, long time. When I feel him now, he seems normal. But he stayed warm for, I would say, several years. He just seemed to stay warm. It was like he was just in there. I didn't know whether it had anything to do with the explosive diarrhea, whether he had a virus all the time. I don't know. He just stayed warm. And when I asked a doctor about that, he said, that's just very common. That's the common problem of children with autism. And I was very disappointed when Dr. Zimmerman told me that, because I thought, it has to be something that they can do with poor children. A warm all the time. It's just a common problem.
In 2001, in the spring of 2001 and the fall of 2001, did you think that Yates's running away when he got a chance was a sign of abnormal development?
No, I did not. I just thought he was a busy little boy that was into the terrible teas at an early age. It never entered my mind that he was abnormal. I just thought he was busy.
In the fall of 2001, did you think that the naming the letters was a sign of an abnormal speech development?
No, I thought he was a genius.
When did you begin to worry that something might be seriously wrong with Yates?
Once I quit, after he was two, I was telling everyone, I'm going to stop talking Norwegian to Yates because he's probably confused. So I stopped talking to him in Norwegian. I strictly talked to him in English. He didn't stop to talk. That made me a little concerned. Why was he not doing what Anne did when I quit talking Norwegian? Everyone else seemed to be getting concerned maybe a little bit sooner than I was. And then one of my friends said, do you think he might have autism? And I was saying, what is that? I didn't know what it was at that time. And I said, oh, no, he's busy. And she had noticed, this was one of the girls in the office, Liberty had noticed that Yates would go and close the examining door. And she said, I have a friend who has an autistic child, and he wants the doors closed. And my heart started pounding. Then I thought, I dismissed it from my mind, and we decided to. He probably couldn't hear well, so he was tested, and when his hearing came back normal, I then became very, very concerned that something was wrong with him. And I had to admit to myself that it wasn't just the genius little boy that said ABC or terrible too, it was something else. But it was not until he was a little over 2 years old that I even was one bit concerned that anything was wrong with him. He was hard to take care of, but I would always make excuses for him why he was hard to take care of. I just always didn't want to think that there was something wrong with him.
That's all the questions I have.
I have just a few questions. Good morning. My name is Linda Renzi, and I represent the respondent. Mrs. Hazelhurst, when did you first notice that Yates was warm all the time?
I noticed that after his first birthday.
Do you recall what month?
Yes, he was. It would have been in the end of February. In February, of course, he had been vaccinated and he was sick. So he actually seemed, he was warm at that time, but he never quit. I guess I should say, I noticed it right around his first birthday, but at that time, I thought that it was the fact that he had been vaccinated and that he had a cold and a runny nose and ear infections when he was vaccinated, so I wasn't concerned about it then. It was probably about a month later before I started getting obsessed with his warm head.
And did you ever take his temperature?
I tried to take his temperature, but he would wiggle around, and I didn't want to do a rectal. So when they took him to the doctor, I was almost surprised that the doctor didn't take the temperature, because I would ask, what's his temperature, and they would walk in the door. Oh, and I don't know. I don't think they took his temperature, so I would think, oh, no. But that's, but I did try. Yes, I did. I would put it under his arm, and but I was afraid to do rectal. I don't know. I just didn't feel comfortable doing that.
So you never got a reliable temperature?
No, I just...
You just felt his head?
I just felt his head, and I knew that his head was much warmer than mine and warmer than any child that I had ever loved on before.
Now, you also testified that your husband contacted Dr. Christopher Williams in London?
Yes, yes.
Why did he contact a GI in London?
Because I had, at that time, heard about the gastrointestinal problem of children, and he was a good friend that was world-renowned, and I felt like if anyone could get to the bottom of this diarrhea that Yates was having, he would be able to help us. And so that's why I think I was just a real desperate grandmother looking for the very best that I could find for Yates and his diarrhea.
And do you recall when that was?
That would have been in, he was two, it would have been that summer that he was, after he had been diagnosed with autism. He was diagnosed that spring, I believe, and it would have been that summer that we called Dr. Williams.
And how did you learn about the children with the gastrointestinal problems?
I started after Yates was having all these diarrheas, being a very curious person. I started asking, I especially asked Dr. Williams what he knew about children with gastrointestinal problems. And he told me, yes, that, you know, that had been a problem.
And then you contacted Dr. Murch, you said?
Simon Murch was his name. That's the one that Christopher Williams put me in contact with. I did not know him personally. I just called him, and he gave me the name of Dr. Bowie. And being at Harvard, I felt like he would be someone that I would like for Yates to see. And I wanted him to be seen that day, but...
You said you did some research on the children with the gastrointestinal problem. Did you read it? Did you go on the internet? How did you hear about it?
I heard about it through, I guess just, I was telling everyone that Yates was having these diarrheas. It was just kind of became part of my conversation with people that Yates was having diarrhea all the time. And people would say, well, you know, I have heard of so-and-so and so-and-so, but I did not get on the internet because I wasn't really that familiar with the internet at that time. I don't think I even knew how to get on the, I knew how to get on the internet, but I never used it. That tells you my age, I'm sure.
So did you know anything about any of the findings in London, of the research going on in London when you contacted Dr. Williams?
I don't know if I knew about the research or if he told me about the research. I'm not certain. To be honest with you, I can't remember.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Okay. Mr. Wagner?
I don't have anything further.
Thank you.
We'll call Mr. Hazelhurst on Dwight.
Be right here in the room to rest.